Hey, this is Nate from Pittsburgh. Just want to say, great catch, Max. Nice job. Love the show.
BFTT at Cave Run! Let's go, Muskie Win!
All right, everybody, welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap. Welcome to episode 102. I am one of your three hosts tonight, Gus Manti. We are currently live in Indiana on the road back from the PMTT Cave Run 2025. And I got Max in here as well, driving, of course. And we got none other than Brian on here as well. Tuning in, we got a hot spot going. We got the whole setup in the car. Didn't know how it was going to work out, but honestly, I think it's going to be great. So I'm really looking forward to this chat. Got a more upbeat tempo than the last pod, possibly, but we'll get into that a little bit down the line. Let's introduce first the guy I'm about to hand the mic to, Max, driving the truck. Here you go, Max.
Hey, hey, Brian, good to see your ugly mug there on the laptop screen.
Damn.
Appreciate you joining us this evening. Yeah, man, live from the car. Podcasting and driving, wouldn't recommend it, but here we are. We're going to be safe. We're going to be cruising in the right lane here. Man, yeah, what a week. Just definitely feeling a little bit better driving home now than we were anticipating throughout the week on how things were going. But yeah, Gus and I will get into it. Brian, we'll take you along for the ride as well here. So without further ado, let me introduce our third co-host this evening. And it is none other than Mr. Brian Eckel. Brian, how are we doing tonight?
I am doing about 50% all right. Nursing a long and painful hangover today after celebrating a full, I don't even know what it was, like 16-hour shift up in Green Bay at the NFL draft yesterday. Great time, great experience. You know, sort of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I don't know if they'll come back to Green Bay anytime soon. It might be 31 years away, 32 years away. But
give us the lowdown, though. Like, what were the scenes? Your boots on the ground up there. 16-hour shift is some pretty good work.
It was some good work, yeah. We kicked her off, you know, sort of in a tailgate fashion with some bloodies in the morning. And, you know, we did a full sweep of the grounds. We got there. I think it was a little bit lighter of a crowd on Saturday than probably Friday, maybe even Thursday as well. I think a lot of the out-of-towners have probably hit the road or flown out, a good chunk of them. But still a really, really good showing. Kind of went into the stadium, watched some picks there, and then went out onto main stage, and right when we got there, old Shedeur Sanders got picked, so it's kind of funny timing. But yeah, great time all in all. And I got two questions for you guys here. Number one, what is the cruise control set at? And number two, what kind of brews are we sipping on tonight, fellas?
we're sipping on some Raisin Cane's Coca-Cola, and we got the cruise control set at about 72. 73.
What's the speed limit there? 50?
No. We're close to Indianapolis, so people are ripping here. Nice. So you said you went into the stadium. Was were you able to watch picks from both places,
yeah,
or how'd that work?
Yeah. They opened up like, I don't know, like the south end zone or whatever you want to call it. So there wasn't a ton of people in there, a few thousand. We were there early on Saturday, and they just had it on the Jumbotron. They had a bunch of little events and mini games and booths and stuff going on around the stadium, obviously. But yeah, it was cool. It was really cool. They had a ton of tents set out with like all these different alcohol companies giving out free samples. So it's like a farmer's market for alcoholics. So it was a good time. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time. What were the bars like up there? Were they pretty juice and everyone seemed to be enjoying themselves in Green Bay? Like, did you meet some out-of-towners, and do they have any thoughts on the Lambeau experience?
I didn't get a ton of intel from out-of-staters. There was a ton of Packer fans there. I don't know. It felt like 80, 90% on Saturday were Wisconsinites. But yeah, the bars were absolutely mobbed. There were people into the streets, into the parking lots. There were some concerts going on. Brad Paisley, I guess. I didn't see him, but we saw some cover band playing all your favorite old early 2000s rock hits. Scotty Doesn't Know. You know, that always gets a crowd on their
Love to see
feet.
that.
It's a good
Gets
time,
the
good
people
time.
hyped. That's awesome. Well, honestly, that's really good for the town of a big town of Green Bay and the surrounding area. But I know you weren't there on this particular day, but what was the hype status on taking a whiteout in round one, getting golden on the pack? I know we were pretty surprised down in
Yeah.
Cave Run when watching it, but let's hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought it was one of the coolest picks I've seen. I mean, in terms of how they announced it, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Crowd went nuts, and I don't know. I'm glad they did it. I think they've passed on a lot better wide receiver prospects in the past, and maybe even this year. But hey, took the speedster. We'll see if he pans out. Should make Jordan Love happy for a little bit.
For sure. Yeah, we're stoked on that. But sweet. All right, should we dive into what went down this past weekend, or week, I should say, down at Cave Run? I know our last podcast, we really didn't record that long ago. We actually recorded it after one day of pre-fishing, which is why I alluded to maybe our moods have changed about what went down there. And it totally changed. The bite maybe didn't change, but our moods definitely changed.
What did you notice pre-fishing relative to like years past when you guys got down there? Like what was, I know usually it's kind of a weird around the spawn bite.
Yeah. They
What
get
were you seeing?
there's so many question marks. I feel like we ask this to Greg Thomas like so many times every year. Like, are they spawning? Are they pre-spawn? Are they post-spawn? And as anybody can guess, your guess is as good as ours or theirs or whatnot, because there are some big hefty female fish being caught that looked like they've never been touched since over winter, and then you're gonna get some spunky, shorts and low 30s and mid 30 males that look like they've really been through it. And this year was the same as the others, honestly. The only difference was it was third all-time highest water Cave Run's ever been a short few weeks or so ago. I think it topped at around the 28 foot above summer pool mark, I want to say. Don't fully quote me, but it did knock down by the time we were there fishing to around that 20 or 21 foot above summer pool. And it was during pre-fishing going down about a half a foot a day. And then it totally switched because we got almost, I'd say, an inch of rain on Friday of pre-fishing, which
Oh.
pretty much gave people minimal time to. It sounded like there's some people that got there like Thursday night or something, and then they just chalked up Friday as like they didn't even go out. So that became a little bit of a bummer. And slightly jumping ahead of ourselves, but Max and I were joking after Thursday night. It's like, well, if the tournament was tomorrow, Friday, which it isn't, it's not till Saturday, like we wouldn't really know what to do. And then Friday, we only get out there for about an hour. Hour and a half and get fully rained out. And we're like, well, we got to make a decision on that 2 days and 1.5 hours of fishing on what we were going to do during the tournament, which inevitably is when we start fishing a lot harder. It just maybe took us a little bit to kind of figure it out.
What was your I know 2 years ago or maybe 3 years ago now, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when you were a solo guest, you primarily stuck to sort of a jigging pattern, stick and stay,
Yeah.
make and pay. You had found like a lot of bait and you had marked some, I believe, that year. Was this year you were kind of trying to stick to the same thing? Did you get up
Yeah.
in some of that tight cover at all?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess from that year, what I would say that I learned actually, other than just jigging and getting them, I actually kind of found out which bait to look for because the lake is so much different. I mean, where I jigged, it was kind of just like an unfishable area, to be honest, this year. And we just completely chalked it up and kind of had to rewrite where we were going to go and maybe go to some places that we weren't too enthusiastic about at first, but honestly, like if you just follow the bait, you can follow the fish. And the whole jigging thing, I mean, that was something as well I did solo that I really didn't have a lot of fish under my belt at the time before doing that. But I just felt when I was solo and casting, I knew I didn't want to troll because I wouldn't have enough lines in the water to really feel confident. Plus, I didn't really know the depth yet to get baits down and not get them hung up. I just felt like solo, it could cover more water when jigging because your bait's always in the water and it's always at the depth that you think the fish should be at, which is where the bait was. And honestly, as different as this year was, Max and I really started to kind of dial in where the bait was. We found the mother loads of it all over the place, kind of pre-fishing. But we just kind of we boiled that down to a few more select areas, and actually it started to move throughout the week where we noticed some areas that were just completely filled to the brim on Wednesday, where we trolled a ton and never got a rip. Throughout the week, more and more, it actually completely left the area. And we don't know if that was water temp related, wind related. We were actually kind of thinking about like coves getting wind blown or not, like if it was pushing. Basically, we're looking for the shad because the shad were actually getting pretty close to spawning, which, if I'm not mistaken, they go spawn up in the creek arms just like the muskies do. And if they just got off the spawn, I don't think those muskies are really going to go too far. The hungry ones, the ones looking for an opportunity to meal. So that was kind of our thought process there. We were pretty much just looking at side image was our biggest friend, and same with 2D as well, on finding those bait pods. Just the tight bait pods were usually the really small shad, but every once in a while you see the really big shad and you can kind of see their individual shadows, and there's less of them in a pod, and that's the mother load. That's what you look for. And the only bummer part is they move throughout the week. So we even had to do a little driving during the tournament without even putting lines down to just literally look and wait on 2D and side image to where it is. And that completely helped us.
Max, what was your takeaway as the week was progressing? I know last year you kind of had a rough go down there in Kentucky. How was your kind of vibe start the week?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to hold true to my 2025 goals of staying a lot more positive there out on the water. I can maybe let Gus attest, confirm or deny if that was true. But yeah, no, the frustration was definitely there. I mean, after Wednesday night, when we recorded with Clayton and Nick, it felt borderline impossible to get a fish to bite. Not only get one to bite, but even just really to locate one. Like, it felt like everything pretty much looked the same. There was a million gars surfacing and you're seeing, carp and these like gars paired up, and like it just felt like everything was by us besides muskies. And yeah, the frustration was super real. I mean, I was talking with Gus, as he kind of alluded to, like, we had zero game plan by Thursday, and then we get rained out Friday. And so my confidence level was pretty minimal. But as Gus was saying, like, as the week kind of progressed, we did find certain areas that the bait that we were looking for was stacking up in a couple of different spots that we kind of just said, well, look, we can fish these super hard during the tournament. And the only kind of hope there was that we weren't really pre-fishing super hard. We did a lot of trolling to find the bait, and when you're trolling down there, like, Gus and I, obviously we don't fish down there a lot. It was my second time down there, it was Gus's third. And so when you're trolling, it's like we don't know really what baits are super effective that time of year. It's exactly really understand the depths to be running them, speed. That's a big thing. I know those southern guys troll a lot faster than we typically do in northern Wisconsin. So just like all those different types of factors, we were kind of saying, well, we found some really good bait. Now we get to go fish it how we're actually, decent at fishing, that type of stuff. So yeah, I mean, pre-fishing, it was just like not a lot of confidence, but just trying to hold out hope that all right, we found some good bait areas, and if we can just like hit it hard during the tournament, we're really just looking for one bite at the end of the day. So, I can just kind of keep riffing right into Saturday if you want, unless you got another question.
Yeah, riffing to Saturday, and what was kind of the overall vibe from the other anglers back at the base camp? I mean, was everybody pretty angry after pre-fishing a couple days, and nobody was really too optimistic?
Yeah, I mean, I would say everyone at our cabin, yeah, there was definitely frustrations, but I would say everyone was pretty optimistic that, like, hey, we can, like, any one of us can get a bite. Like, there will be fish caught in this tournament. You know, we're all down there. So it's like, what else are we gonna do? You know, we can't just complain about it. And yeah, we were staying. Oh yeah, Ryan and Alex McLean and Ryan Becker weren't on the pod on Wednesday night, but they showed up later that night. So we had all six of us were in the cabin, and I mean, yeah, you can be frustrated or whatever, but I think everyone was still pretty confident that they were gonna find one bite during the tournament. So yeah, I mean, that's what the mindset we went into it with. Oh yes, that's right. I forgot to mention we did get a bite on Friday. Gus can elaborate on that one sec.
Yeah, apologies. I knew there was something we were maybe missing on kind of actually why our game plan on day one was set. During that hour and a half we were able to fish on Friday before we got fully rained out, Max did get like a bite or a tap or something ripping out of a tree branch, and he said it was something weird, and you know, it was still pre-fishing, so we did have the old dreaded live scope out there, and when I pointed it at once he said he got hit, I pointed it to where he was because I didn't have it on him, and he kept working. It was a dying dog, and he kept working that back and just kind of slowly ripping it, and I see this blob behind it start shooting after it again and bring it all the way to the boat, and it stuck around with curiosity, and I'm like, well, we haven't had a single gar do this the whole time. Carp don't do this. I think we finally just came across a muskie. And I think that kind of gave us the confidence on the area that we really weren't doing something wrong for the most part, the other days pre-fishing. And the fact that it was like right before big storms, or like maybe just a lot of fish are firing off, and we were always in the right area, just the wrong time and maybe the wrong presentation. So we took that into Saturday morning and basically started ripping right from the go on starting shallow. We really, really thought that if we were going to get one shallow, it had to be early. I don't think that rang true for the most part exactly, but that was kind of our thought process on the morning. And then we worked out from there. And I'd say overall, we pretty much casted the start for a long time. And we kind of switched it up between glides, cranks, rubber, jigs. We did throw a rattle trap. No, we only threw that pre-fishing. But we pretty much switched between small, really small baits and big baits, like twitching really small 4-inch crane baits, and then ripping like, you know, dying dogs, the big bow fins. We threw some pit bulls around. I mean, we were really messing around with it. Tubes, of course. And from there on Saturday morning, it was pretty much just staying with the bait. We noticed it was there, and we just kind of had to stick with it. I don't know. That was kind of the start of Saturday. I don't know if we want to get into kind of how it progressed, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, so pretty much how that was progressing was us just, you know, like I said, just fishing hard and knowing that at any point we could be the ones to get the bite, having confidence in our lures. And we did have an unfortunate go around. So we did pay attention to the moon during the tournament, but we never did pre-fishing. And it honestly didn't matter because we didn't catch one. And our bite, we just expected that to be just a pre-storm bite, which I think is kind of rang true on the timing that it happened in the morning. It was not during a moon, it was just pre-storm. So we actually marked a lot of bait, and we think we actually finally marked a muskie while working this kind of like little point off of the shoreline slightly. And at the time we were still both just casting, and then we started jigging a little bit that fish, and then we kind of moved on, and that was about 10 a.m. or whatever. And we found out that the major started around 11:15 or so, and us being really stupid, we just moved on from that area and kind of wanted to, I shouldn't say we moved on, we just moved to reset the drift basically and kind of work way up the shoreline closer to outside the creek and then work our way back in. So from there we did find out, so there's a lot of trollers where we were, and when we worked back up, we're like, we're gonna start here for the start of the major. About 20 minutes or so after working back down the shoreline, somebody that we knew was trolling tight to the trees, and we're casting tight, so then they kind of bopped out to give us some space, and they shouted to us like, hey, about 5 to 10 or whatever, like right away after we left the area we were in, he's like, yeah, two fish got caught like right where you guys were. And they're like, one of them was caught jigging and it looked pretty big. And then I think on the second time he came around, he kind of described where it was, and we're like, oh my God, we think we marked that fish. And we're so just distraught from all the pre-fishing on never bringing a fish to the boat or getting a bite, on marking so many things similar that we thought just were gar and carp, that we just kind of rid that off as like a maybe, a question mark. And we got the waypoint chilling there, and we have decent confidence that that was maybe that fish or a fish that was caught in the creek that we were at. So that was, I'd say, both good to know that we are in the right areas and we're kind of doing the right thing, but that was just, I don't know, a little disheartening. I don't know if you got some more thoughts on that, Max.
No, not really. It was yeah, it was just one of those things that hindsight's 2020. I don't think at the time, if we didn't hear that those fish were caught, we would have thought nothing of it. So, I mean, anytime, somebody sticks a fish in an area you were fishing, you're always gonna kind of second guess like if you could have done something different. But no, the rest of Saturday honestly was pretty uneventful. We got out of the area that we were in. It started to get pretty crowded, and we wanted to try one other area to see if we could build some confidence for Sunday. I mean, I wouldn't say that we were waving the white flag, but it felt pretty close to that.
Yeah, I'd say so, because especially going to our option number two on day one, because we're pretty dead set on almost staying to the same place all day on day one, that when we got into the spot on day two, like I was talking to pre-fishing, that was where we saw so much bait on Wednesday, and the wind was different and the temperatures were different and the bait was gone, completely gone. Like, I don't even know if we marked a single shad ball, and we were quite confused on where they could go, because that was another big area. And we are currently passing Stephen Logan, trail team as well, on what are we on right now? I-65 North. They see us with the mic. That's pretty funny. He just flashed us. Yeah, right. Yeah,
Yeah, couple middle
the
fingers.
middle fingers.
I mean, I know like Alex McLean, that was his first time down in Kentucky. Were there some other new anglers? Did they have some opinions after, pre-fishing after day one? How do they feel about that fishery?
I mean, they felt as frustrated as all of us were, and honestly, like all I guess we could do, Max and I and Clayton and Nick, was just kind of tell them like, hey man, like this just kind of is what it is sometimes, and like we know you guys are doing the right thing, like we know you guys are really good anglers and can get her done at any single moment out here. Like, this is such a random bite sometimes. As much as you can stay dialed in, just keep with the confidence that you got that it's gonna happen. Because I mean, there's only 14 total fish caught, 8 on day one, 6 on day two, and it was something like, the boat count got to 90, but not every trail team made it down. So I think it was kind of more along the lines of 80 or so boats out there, which is, still a good amount. And when you take a flooded 20-foot high cave run and you pretty much ex-nay the Zilpo Flats, you put a lot of boats into a lot of tight areas, and it actually gets a little bit more crowded, and the lake as big as it is, it starts fishing even smaller than it normally does, which got a lot of people, messed up and with their timing and our timing and being too crowded I mean, to get those fish to go, it seemed like majority of them were caught in the popular areas with a lot of people around, and you could tell that, you just look for the fleet of boats where they are in each creek arm. To my knowledge, I'm sure there's maybe a couple caught on the main lake shoreline areas, possibly. I heard one was caught at the dam, one of the top 10. They just were jigging at the dam. That was awesome to hear because that was our final white flag game plan. Like if we just wanted to put that boat right up on the rocks.
It does seem like out of all the trail stops, this year and years past, that it's kind of the biggest crapshoot. Like, I mean, you can maybe in years past you've been able to like hop on sort of a pattern and a trend and kind of zone in your tactic a little bit better. But this year with nobody doubling up, I mean, it really is like for those new guys, like you were saying, talking to Alex and stuff. I mean, find something that you're a little bit confident in and just kind of hope and pray. It's like, it seems like a really hard fishery. So yeah, I mean, Sunday, a little bit better luck for you guys. I mean, what did you start the day and how did it progress?
You want to take this? I mean,
Thoughts going into
yeah,
it.
sure.
So yeah, right before Sunday, I guess with our thought process going in there is, I mean, we hammered basically one area the whole day on Saturday, apart from leaving it for a little bit and trying one or two other spots. We just kind of had that. Well, first of all, I mean, looking at the weather change, we saw a high pressure system roll in, super post frontal. Day one was kind of the shaky end of the storms that passed through on Friday, and then all of a sudden we got high skies, high of 66 on Sunday, except instead of having it start around 63, 65 degrees and humid, it started at not super humid and about 45 degrees on Sunday. So it dropped the water temp in most areas by at minimum 2 or 3 degrees, some places even more, closer to 4 to 5 degrees overnight. Because in the springtime, you get a lot of superficial temps on the surface, so they can really knock down fast if you get that big of a temp swing. So we knew and northeast winds. So all of us, anybody in the tournament, us at the cabin, we kind of knew we were in for what was already a tough bite into an even tougher bite. And anytime you get post frontal conditions on a tough bite on a tough lake in the spring, I mean, we just kind of had the idea of we got to fish small baits. We probably got to look out deep and we need to fish stupid slow. We did some jigging on Saturday and we were pretty much just thinking like, I think that's going to do it. We got to jig the whole time. So we made a complete 180 shift and we actually went to go all the other places that we saw bait throughout the week. We're an entirely different part of the lake, so we just made the game plan decision to just completely throw away where we were on day one, even though we were around a ton of bait. We were just around a ton of boats. There were fish caught, but the percentage of fish caught with the amount of anglers in the area we didn't think was very good or to our benefit on going into day two, especially with the word gets around on where they were caught. There was probably a good chance of there being more boats actually piled in there, so we wanted to go to where there's less boats, and we were graced with less boats. And we fished our first two spots with some bait, but not a lot to really keep us excited, and nothing that showed up on side image or 2D that really got us, that really tickled our fancies. Like, hey, we should really hammer down in this area. We just kind of burned through them for an hour or so. So we got through two spots in the morning after 2 hours, and then we made a kind of a game plan decision to go one way or the other, and we kept sticking to our nuts and throwing those all in one basket pretty much for the rest of the day. And from there, we basically found a mother load of stacked bait in a stacked area. And I look at Max and I'm like, we're not gonna move or we're gonna camp. Like this is our bait pod. This is a tough bite. We're gonna do it. We're gonna jig. and we're gonna move at anywhere from 0 to 0.3 miles per hour. This is gonna suck, but it's gonna this is gonna be the most confidence we're gonna have all week.
Yeah, definitely. That was kind of a funny progression this morning. I mean, we, after our first two spots, we had made the decision to go on the totally other end of the lake and just didn't really have much going compared to what we had the day before. Like, not saying that we were ready to wave the white flag by any means. I mean, we're still gonna try and everything, but it just felt like by about 9 a.m. this morning, we were kind of looking at each other, like, Jesus Christ. I mean, this started talking about the ride home and, all this stuff and where are we gonna stay. And Gus took a little, a couple minute hiatus, the bathroom break, and we're not in really much rush to do anything. Like, the urgency level was pretty low. But we kind of just said, like, we do think we have a good game plan. If we could just find that bait like we saw yesterday, like, I think this could, still work. And so the smartest thing, I think we really did there is, when we were talking about it, we're like, we got to find this bait. And so when we went into our third spot, we actually kind of just drove around until we found it instead of just starting at the spot and going. And we slipped into this area. There was a few other boats around, and like Gus said, we just found this like motherload pile of bait, and we're like, we're just gonna wait it out because this was the same level of bait, if not even more, than where those fish got caught yesterday. And so that kind of gave us the confidence, like, at some point in time, there will be a muskie in this area, and we have some kind of unique baits. I don't know if Gus will let me say kind of what we were doing, but I'll let him tell you if you want. But yeah, we felt really good with the setups we had and what we were doing. And like Gus said, he just looked at me. He's like, we're just gonna wait this out. I was like, all right, sounds good. So I think I ate some food and just figured it's gonna be 4 long hours of ripping my shoulder off and jigging. And yeah, about an hour, maybe hour into doing that, the sun started to kind of get a little bit warmer, and the wind kind of started to pick up and blow in, right? And it just kind of felt a little fishy. And I'm not much of a jigger, as Brian. I'm not a big fan of doing stuff like that. It's kind of boring. And I was just looking. So yeah. And so I'm just looking around at the trees, and all of a sudden I noticed that, as I'm on my way down, it felt like I hit the bottom of the lake. And I'm like, well, in my head, I process this pretty fast, but I'm like, oh, that ain't the bottom because I'm about 9 feet down and 30 feet of water. And I look down at my line, and that thing is just completely slacklined. And so my heart like goes into my throat. I reel down and I just absolutely throttle this fish. First hook set of the year, I'm all amped up. I'm like, oh my God, I just got a bite at Cave Run. I throttle this fish, and this 27-inch muskie comes about 4 feet straight out of the water. Yeah, there's no line left. So he comes flying out of the water. Gus, grabs the net. At this point, we don't know it's a short because I'm just like, I've gone blind. I just got a bite. We've been here since Wednesday morning. And we put it in the net, and we were actually really excited, even though we knew right when it went into the net that it wasn't going to be 30 inches. I mean, you could just eyeball it, and it looked to be about a 27-ish inch muskie. And yeah, I mean, he just T-boned that bait we had, and I was, like, okay, this might actually work. Like, we might actually have stumbled onto a legit pattern, question mark. Like, maybe we'll see. I literally just kind of quickly set the fish a little bit away from the bump board, realized it was going to be like 27 inches, and threw it back. I throw it back, and Gus goes, you didn't even want a picture of your first Cave Run fish? I was like, oh shoot, like, God, what the heck am
No
I thinking?
proof.
And I'm like, all right, we're gonna get another one, man. This is working. Let's just stay on it. And yeah, about, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes later, I'm refueling, as one could say, right on the waypoint of where we caught
Eat
the
again?
27. I know, just a little refuel, a little pick me up. Yeah, popping in a quick zin, And I'm still jigging, mind you, and so my bait's just sitting there. I'm cracking a bubbler, and I'm like, as I'm taking a drink of the bubbler, my bait goes down, and it was like I just got stopped cold dead right at the bottom of the jig. So I rip up with my shoulder in one hand, I got the bubbler in the other hand. That spills all over the front of the boat. Right when yeah, new boat. Right when I laid into that one, I knew right away it was a much better fish. And you'd be proud of me, Brian. I didn't get too excited, even though in the really murky water and those super blonde fish, when they glow, man, do they look a little bigger than they
It's a
actually
50.
are. But yeah, no, it was I think all I said was just it was a nicer one. So Gus got excited, and yeah, we pretty much just did the old drag him to the right around the trolling motor and tumble him right into the net. Was hung pretty high, just like we like to do that. But all ended well, and yeah, got it measured. Ended up going 37, just a really healthy stud of a fish, and I would say spirits were complete 180 after that.
Did you
No,
guys,
and
I mean, first of all, one for one on the successful night of the year. Probably good to get that one out of the way. Maybe some shaky hands. How
then two for
much
two.
time was left after 2 for 2? 2 for 2 is short. How much time was left after you released that fish?
We released that fish, and I think we had exactly an hour and a half to be comfortable on catching another fish at the end and getting the picks in without, service getting in the way. So hour and a half to really hunker down. And I think the best part about it is that we got those bites at kind of a random time. And then we're like, okay, here comes the major. It's new moon. It's starting around noon or a little after noon. And yeah, like Max just said, we're thinking really big things. And like if there's bait here and we catch a 27 and then a 37, there might be a 47 here too. Like, I don't see why not. So we just did the old spot lock again and let the wind drift us a little bit, try and keep us slow and keep after her, because we had a lot of confidence now. And now after like looking at it more, like we didn't move I mean, obviously we could have re-marked some, but the old side image gave away a couple of those fishes' identities when they're looking at our baits, just kind of like the depth they came up to and what they're doing, how they're interacting with the boat. Like if they're gar or carp, you usually see multiple at a time, but if you see nothing for a while and then you get one mark and then nothing after that, it's typically a muskie, or if it comes back again or hangs around a little bit longer if you're not moving. So we're like, man, there are more. I don't see how we don't get another bite again. And unfortunately, it just didn't really come to fruition, but I am extremely happy for Max getting his first two Kentucky muskie. I'm really happy we got illegal, because like you said, we did not get any evidence of that first fish. Literally zero evidence. The camera didn't work. He threw it back without me even pulling my phone out, and we were just like, I look at Matt, as Dave said, he told Max to lock the fuck in this year, and Max was absolutely locked in.
That don't count. That don't count.
All right. Still locked in though. Still locked in. But
Still
I
locked in.
look at Max after he caught that, and we said, we have zero evidence of you catching your first Kentucky muskie, and I just said, well, I guess you just got to catch another, and he caught another, so that is pretty awesome. And
Hashtag locking in.
hashtag locking in. But no, I'll touch on what we were using. We were throwing the old not throwing we were jigging the old trusty Red October tube. Nothing beats a Red October tube when you're jigging. That's it's kind of a tough one to beat. I mean, it's peanut butter and jelly, it all goes together. So
I'm looking at I can kind of run down the leaderboard here. We can give some shout outs.
yeah, give some shout outs.
We got first place and big fish of the tournament, caught day two, 46 and a quarter. Shout out Bob Bauer and Gary Vilcek.
Think Vice. No way, is there an
Vilcek.
L there?
Vilsack, yes.
Something like that. Shout out to
I
those
believe
guys getting her done in crunch time.
they got her at what was it, like 12:30 or 12:45? 12:45 today, crunch time, on a spinnerbait.
Wow. It's called hashtag
Yeah.
locking in right there.
They had, I don't know, I mean, I think Tim puts up the lives for later, but if you haven't looked at those, you should watch the live when they talk about their story of getting that fish. Those guys are extremely well deserved on that fish. They it looked like they really went through it. They trolled a lot, I think, and they snagged a lot. And they had some frustrations of getting snagged all the time. I think he said at one point, he's like, I was snagged one way and my partner was snagged the other direction or whatever.
Oh no.
And so,
It's gotta be frustrating.
yeah, and they were really frustrated and they just kind of did the swing for the fences and they made it happen. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, good work there. Second place was 42 and a half, Jeremy Baird and Jay Thornburn. Is this a new team or are they in the last year?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look. I think they were in this year. Yeah. Yeah, they were in last year. They said they saw us actually at Madison during the heartbreak, but it's got their team number, team 86, so I don't know if they didn't put in as a trail team, but yep, they've done the PMTT before.
Nice. I'll just go rapid fire through some here. You can stop me if you got a story from a mother catch, but third
Oh,
place.
wait, hold on one second. The second place team, they actually unfortunately missed one on day two to seal the deal. They said they had a 35 hooked, about a mid-30s hooked and to the boat and popped off. So that was a huge
Oh,
heartbreaker at like
yeah.
12:30. Yeah. So
That's
that's a bummer.
tough. The third place team was Lauren and Chris Stayer with a 40-inch fish. Top or the fourth place team, Josh McDunn and Daniel Moskin with a 39er. Ray and Sean Schaefer in fifth place with a 38.5. Rob Ornberg and Tanner Rabelhofer in sixth place with 37.5. And then seventh place, Carter Jacobson and Jared Verhasselt with a 37. And they bumped you guys in placement because they caught it day one. You guys caught your 37 day two for eighth place. Mark and Adam Fallenwider with 36.5 for ninth place. And then in 10th place, Scott Popowski and Chris Reeby,
Yes.
35 and a quarter
That was
to
a
round
clutch
out the
fish to get
placements.
10th. Shout out 2 pounder.
Shot out for the hole. That's crazy. 14 fish is not a great. Do you know how many were caught last year?
In the 20s or something like that, 27.
I just wanted to quickly shout out Rob and who's the other
Tanner?
solo guy? Rob was
Oh.
a solo and then the other one was Mark.
Mark.
Follow
Yeah. Well, Rob and Mark, Rob, who took, I think he said fifth,
six.
sixth,
Six.
and Mark, who took
Ninth.
ninth. Both those guys are fishing solo. I know I made Gus do that 2 years ago and he did well solo as well. But tell you what, if I was down there at that lake solo during this event, I would have probably lost my marbles. So
Yeah.
yeah, shout out to damn, that's a little aggressive. Shout out to those guys for
Keeping it
fishing this
together.
one solo, keeping it together and getting it done.
That's impressive. I mean, what's who knows what the problem is down there, if it was just bad timing this week for all the anglers, but is the general vibe that they'll keep going back to Cave in the coming years, or was there not much talk on that?
We didn't really hear too much talk on that, but honestly, the vibes are pretty low from just about every team. I mean, you get a mixture of super high water, which you obviously can't predict Mother
Yeah.
Nature. That's one factor. The other factor is just the time of year they keep going is they just keep going on this post-spawn, pre-spawn, during spawn, whatever. And no matter the weather and whatever, it just doesn't seem like many more than 30 fish total are caught, which seems kind of crazy. Obviously we've had tough results in other tournaments, and then you kind of partner that up with what we've heard about and what you can see in the stocking data on Cave Run has been lacking as of late. They haven't really kept up with what they used to, and then you also throw in the old part that supposedly those locals say that the locals still like to keep them quite a bit.
Really?
So there's a lot of muskies being kept down there as well, and it seems like if they stick to where they usually do, a lot of those small to medium fish are pretty accessible for shore fishermen and as well as people in boats. So that kind of makes it a little tough on the fishery. So that pretty much is kind of where it's at. I mean, you can kind of hear it from us from even the years past, even though we've been able to crack down on a bite or two and make something happen, make something out of nothing. That fishery definitely is in need of some help, a little bit. I should say that. I really do think it kind of boils down to time of year, because those guys really do crack them in pre-spawn. I don't really know how they do in like the next coming weeks before the water gets too hot. I'm sure it's pretty good, or good enough. But the fall bite down there is supposedly very good, and they've had good results going there for a championship in the fall. So I would be very enthusiastic and happy about going there in the fall if they had a championship on Cave Run in October, early October, late September. I'd be super thrilled. Apparently there's great weeds, deep weeds, the water's cleaner, you actually can move fish, and it seems like they're just easier to find, so, and it might spread people out a lot more.
Yeah, that'll be something to see. I mean, the other option for having an April PMTT would be what, like Iowa, Ohio? Would those be options as a first leg?
Well, a lot of people say Ohio is not big enough. I don't know if you can just like do two lakes like they do Cass Bemidji, which is crazy. They add those two lakes together, even though Cass can obviously hold everybody. But I think it all boils, I think it's like Bemidji Tourism or something that hosts that event. I could be wrong, but I really don't see why they couldn't add just multiple lakes in Ohio. Some of those lakes are very close together. I'm not sure if they have horsepower restrictions. I know they have that in a lot of like the Pennsylvania lakes, and that makes it tough. The size of the lakes in Iowa, I think, are really tough, because the one that can really host a big event is Okoboji and Spirit Lake, but that has a season where the rest of the Iowa doesn't, and I don't think you can
Interesting.
fish it in April on there. And Clear Lake is too small where the championship is this year for a full field of even, 80, even if it doesn't get filled. Illinois. Maybe, Kincaid or the Fox Chain. I don't really know the size of Kincaid at all, honestly. I've never been there, but Fox Chain could maybe hold it. Unfortunately, the Indiana lakes probably aren't big enough, so the options
Yeah,
are,
pretty limited.
fairly limited unless you just don't start the trail until later.
Yeah, might be the way to go.
Or
Let everything settle in after spawn.
yeah. One quick shout out as well. Looking at the list here, we got a shout out to Greg Thomas and Rick Hoover. They got her done on day one. They actually caught fish and multiple fish day one and fish each day. They unfortunately got three shorts.
Oh.
So, if, to my knowledge, they were the ones to catch the most fish during the tournament. Unfortunately, a few of the fish's tails didn't reach that 30-inch mark. And our good friends Mark and McMurphy. They got a nice 33 and a half on day one, and they said they had we saw them fishing today on Sunday, and they said they had a big girl to go back to, and no better day than New Moon. Unfortunately, they didn't find her, but that would have been pretty sweet to see if they got her. But shout outs to them. Those are big time fish to make the championship.
Yeah, a little bit of stress off your guys' plate now going forward, locking in that Iowa championship.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, now here we are on the way back. Like I said, a little bit better car ride vibes now after how today went. But overall, just a really good time again, just hanging out with the guys. It's good to be back. You know, all these tournaments, as frustrating as they are, just chilling at the cabin, doing dinners, stuff like that. It's just fun. It's, you know, like a muskie camp where everyone's trying to kind of figure it out. You know, these challenging bites can, yeah, be definitely a pain in the ass, but you know, it's extra rewarding when you can get it done, and even when you can't, you know, you're gonna learn something and also have some fun with the people that you're doing it with. So yeah, I mean, I really don't have too much to add here, Brian. Sounds like you're probably on your way to an early bedtime this evening, if I could imagine.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not stuck in a long car ride today like you fellas. I don't know how far I could make it, so
Well,
impressive stuff.
we appreciate you coming on here and helping us kill some time in the car. And
You guys got room for those plaques you keep getting?
I'm not sure. A few people are joking with us to start a trophy room, but we don't have another room. There's running out of it. But no, I got one more thing to add that I do want to quick touch on. So yeah, one thing that was kept slightly in the dark throughout the winter, because I just wanted to make sure it was all good and smooth. Quick story here. So I did sell my old boat, and I did get a new Alumacraft through Boat Sport Marina that I was super stoked about getting. And everything kind of came together pretty last minute. So I had my old boat on sale for about 4 weeks. And through those 4 weeks, it was a little tough market. But I actually sold it 3 hours before leaving to go to Cave Run. So that
Nice.
was a really good feeling. Bittersweet. The old boat has a lot of memories, a lot of muskies boated in it, a lot of tournament, you know, mojo going on in that boat pretty much. And kind of was a bummer, like, hey, that, you know, yeah, it made us nervous going into this year with a brand new rig that I was only able to put so many hours on it by breaking in the new motor and getting the, you know, the lower unit and oil change quick, that you're supposed to when you break in a brand new motor and going into Cave Run with only, you know, not even 10 hours on the motor and zero things in it until the day before leaving and putting all the rods and gear in there. And you know, I had a few things that were pretty necessary to arrive literally on the day that we left. When we drove through the night, had some St. Croix rods show up last minute, some new rods that were demoing, some prototype rods as they call it, that were pretty lights out. Max was using the trusty Big Nasty 9 foot heavy to get her done on jigging, which is overall, you know, one of the greatest rods you can deal with is a nine heavy,
Big
the Big
Nasty,
Nasty.
that's the name of the rod, or what you started calling Max?
Both. But no, so that was great. But what I really wanted to touch on was the new rig was phenomenal. It handled waves really well. Luckily we didn't have to deal with anything crazy large out there. Cave Run can get a little bit gnarly, but it was great. I love the way the new hull is designed a little bit. It kind of you get a little bit more coverage on the sides. I think the beam, they might have made it a little bit wider, and then the nose kind of angles down a little bit, but don't let that get you scared. You can't really get waves over that, honestly, and it actually gives me better visibility as a tiller driver, which is actually extremely important. The old boat, I sometimes had to half stand up or sit on my legs to be able to see safely and not, you know, run into anything because I got people in front of me. That's the one downside of the tiller, but that kind of fixed that on this new one. And the back X pods or whatever they're exact, I think it's called the X pods because it's the 185X, was unreal. Having that extra space in the back is going to be insane. Our bender weekends when we're running four wide out of that rig are going to be even better than we already did.
So,
And the other boat, we had some people at the launch asking if that's a 20 footer. And, you know, by length, if you add the extended pods in the back, I think it's actually a little over a 20 foot, but it is the 185 model. So,
nice.
it's pretty sweet. Got her slimed up. Pretty stoked about that. Spilled her first drink. Hit a lot of trees, which is good. She needed to be broken in. I was a little nervous about a clean boat. I don't like things too clean, but, What else? Oh, hit a dock a little bit, just with the bumpers on the side.
Hit a
So we're good.
dock.
We're breaking her in. Yeah,
Nice.
I know. It's unfortunate the docks are stationary. Still hit it, but is what it is. So that's my final shout out there, other than Muskies on Tap in general on Facebook and Instagram. And if you want to book a trip with myself, Gus, go to Suggs Fishing on Instagram, Facebook, or www.suggsfishing.com to find more info on that. Let me know if you want to get out musky fishing, or still got some bookings here in May for smallmouth and or walleye if you want to go and do that. But other than that, Brian,
All
take us
right,
away.
everybody. Shout out to all you guys listening on this week's episode. Incredible live from the road edition for the two fellas driving back from Kentucky right now. Seem to have avoided any wrecks, didn't get too distracted, and they managed to put the beers down for just long enough to get back to Wisconsin. Hats off to you
Easy,
guys.
buddy.
Incredible job on the eighth place finish. Another plaque. Got to find
Thank you,
somewhere
thank
to
you.
put it. Next leg is coming up. When?
June like 20th or something. Eagle River Three
June
Lakes.
20th, Eagle River. Stay tuned. May have some big news there. We'll hit
Are we
on
good?
that soon.
Brian, are we going to see you there? Brian, will you make an appearance at the PMTT?
And cut.
And cut. Wow.
Lord, it's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here? Rhinestone suits and new shiny cars. It's been the same way for years. We need to change. Somebody told son, you finally got it made. Old Hank made it here. We're all sure that you will, but I don't think Hank done it this way. No, I don't think Hank done it this way. Look at. Well, I've seen the world with a five-piece band looking at the backside of me, singing my songs, one of his now and then. But I don't think Hank done them this way. No, I don't think Hank done them this way. Take it on.